Military Mondays with David Katz.
David Katz, a very, very good morning. You can't get used to this intro, can you?
We haven't heard that for a long time.
I know.
Why today, of all days, did you choose to play the intro?
Well, because it's my last Military Monday of the year with you.
This is our swan song for the year.
Well, you can be here next week. I just can't.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm going to miss you.
A liar. Time is 8:37. We're talking about gun control. And the reason I wanted to chat about this is I think that we spend so much time focused on the American debate. It's so highly politicized in the United States that very often we don't even look back. We don't even look down where we are and say, well, what is the law here? Are we allowed to bear arms constitutionally? Is it protected? How does it work? Is it a success? David, give us a bit of an overview of the South African context.
Well, certainly in legal terms, we're not in the same position as the United States, where their right to bear arms is enshrined in their constitution. It's not enshrined in our constitution. In fact, we are governed by the Firearms Control Act. And it doesn't form part of the constitution. Although one could say that there are components in the constitution. And you're a lawyer. You should be able to help me out on this.
Work with me.
In the constitution, we have a right to life. We have a right to freedom of association, and we've got a right to protect our property. So that's enshrined in the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, the law facilitates us bearing arms, and I suppose then we could extrapolate it and say we have a right to protect ourselves via firearms when it comes to matters of life and protecting property, which is unlike the American situation, where there's just a right to bear arms in the Constitution. So we're not the same, we're not similar, and we don't face the same challenges.
Right, right. Okay, so we're allowed to bear arms here in South Africa. We're allowed to carry, as provided we have a license.
Yes, yes.
And it is fairly strictly controlled because a close family member of mine is a collector, and I know that he's gone through, there's a constant thing with licenses, inspections, and I've actually been incredibly impressed by how well managed it seems to be.
Well, let's talk a little bit about collectors because that's very, very interesting. First of all, why is there a need to collect firearms? A collector is a person.
Well,
who
why not?
Runs his own little personal museum.
I collect typewriters. Sure, I don't run a museum,
yes.
But it's something that I collect. I collect inkwells.
But it's
I just love it because I'm drawn to it.
Yes.
It's got, you know, I don't think you can ever explain why somebody's a collector. I think they find somebody who collects something with a passion. Finds it magical.
But there's a need for it, and I'll tell you what it is.
Yes.
Is that it protects these very, very important assets and parts of our history outside of a single location. So we put everything into...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying
so
why,
I'm saying that, yes.
Oh, not why so, does that person collect
no,
it. You're
no,
saying,
no.
Why is it why a is value a,
why
to somebody
value?
Collecting?
Absolutely.
So you're saying
yes.
It's valuable...
It spreads the danger.
Because, exactly, because if one collector has something and another one has something else and the other one gets destroyed
surely.
Or lost or something,
absolutely.
Then at
which
least...
Which has happened in time immemorial where great collections have been
destroyed.
Right, understood.
Destroyed. Very good point.
Okay, so there is provision in our Firearms Act for collectors. And there are very stringent laws with collecting firearms. First of all, it's governed by an association. There's various collectors associations out there. And the power to decide whether you're allowed to collect that firearm is devolved down to these associations who are experts in their field. So let's just say you say I'm going to collect Boer War weapons.
Mm.
Then you will have to go there and speak to the association and convince them that you're interested in the Boer War weapons, that you know about the Boer War weapons.
Ah, okay, that's to be a proper collector.
Like to be a proper collector. Mm. And then they will classify you as a collector. The police will classify you on the back of the association granting you the collector's license. And then they will vet it from there on going forward. So if you find a nice piece somewhere, you'll first go to the collectors association, you'll present it to them, they will okay it, you'll take that okay to the police, and the police will grant you the license based on that.
Okay.
So there's very stringent rules when it comes to collecting. Yes, you're 100% right about that. And I think they're pretty well enforced. I haven't heard too many examples of collectors' firearms getting out there into the public space and being used for the wrong purposes. I don't think it really happens.
Mm.
So I'm pretty happy with that aspect of the Firearms Control Act in this country.
Yeah. And just the regular person that wants to have a weapon at home or two weapons, maybe they enjoy shooting target practice, maybe they have it for security, whatever the reason.
Also very strict laws governing that. You need a competency certificate. So if you want to carry a handgun, then you need to go out there and prove to the firearms guys that you know how to handle that firearm, and you need to undergo training and you get a certificate, and that certificate has to be reviewed every 5 years. Also, you don't just have a right to carry a firearm. Your criminal record must be clean. There's certain things that preclude you, certain sentences that preclude you from holding a weapon. And so you don't have a total right to have a weapon.
Right.
You need a clean record. You need a clean record. But having said that, if you have a competency certificate, you've proved yourself competent. You're also restricted, by the way, to the number of weapons that you're allowed to carry. So if you comply with the restriction on the number of weapons and you have a competency certificate and you have a clean criminal record, then you are almost entitled to carry a weapon. So there are stringent laws involved there. Although I've come across some alarming circumstances of people who shouldn't be carrying weapons that are carrying the wrong amount of weapons, the incorrect amount of weapons. They are, and also they have records that they shouldn't be carrying a weapon. There's an alarming amount of that going on. So once again, we back our to the enforcement side of things. So the law is great. The law looks good on paper. Whether the enforcement is there or not is another question.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, very, why is it though that, given all of this, given the fact that we do have a very, on paper at least, a very good system in South Africa, why is it that so many weapons are used in criminal activities?
Well, certainly a criminal doesn't need to go to have a competency certificate. Sure. And doesn't need to behave himself in order to acquire a weapon. So they can acquire a weapon by any means that's at their disposal. So they and it's a weapon is a great thing to commit a crime with. Let's face it. Although it's not the only weapon around there. I mean, we've seen what knives can do in London. So it's not the only dangerous thing that people can carry. So guns in the wrong hands cause havoc.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can legislate against it. You can't legislate against the wrong people acquiring weapons. If somebody wants to acquire a weapon for nefarious reasons, they are going to get hold of that weapon. So there's nothing to stop them. That's been proved worldwide.
So then, I mean, to some extent, what's the point? What is the point of very strict controls that only govern the people that are law-abiding? Those aren't the people that are going to go out and rob banks and murder people.
Well, there's a case for it on both sides. It's that the opportunist that you're trying to, if somebody is determined to go and get himself an illegal weapon to go and commit a crime, I don't think you're going to stop him. But there's the opportunist, the man who has a fight with one of his family members and wants to take revenge. There's that temporary insanity. And he walks into Walmart and he goes and buys himself an assault rifle and then walks out and takes out the whole of the Wimpy bar. The law stops that type of opportunistic crime, makes it a little more difficult, but institutes a cooling off period before somebody can go and commit a crime like that. So I can imagine there's good reasons for implementing some type of a system to control opportunistic crime and crimes of passion.
Time is 8:45. I'm Howard Feldman. We're chatting. I'm chatting to Major David Katz, and we're talking about gun control in South Africa.